She said, I love the fact that you guys are doing something so different, so unique, something that's not been seen before. She goes, in many ways, and this was just her opinions, in many ways, theater is a lot like a library. It should be a little bit of something for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
And away we go.
Hello before.
What?
Instead of hello again. I'm searching for a new catchphrase, folks.
Yeah.
Hello again. And welcome to the art and business.
Keep searching.
Okay. Welcome to the art and business of community theater presented by the Monroe Community Players. Featuring the Green Room Groupies, your favorite bunch of guys and gal. Sometimes gals, but today it's gal.
We miss you, Carol. She's still with us.
Each episode, yeah, and her work schedule should be lightening up at some point, so maybe we can get her back too.
Good.
Each episode, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of a well-run community theater and how to produce the highest quality shows for your audience. Sometimes we slip into other topics as well, and because you understand how green room conversations can go. I'm David Ward, the de facto leader of our little band, and looking at, maybe I shouldn't say band anymore. Maybe should we say our little group, our little troop.
Ooh.
Hey, good luck editing that. And looking around the green room today, I see...
Oh, hi there. Funny meeting you here. Didn't see you before. I'm Robert Yeoman. Here's the rest of the crazy crew.
I'm Brian Burchett Ross.
That was horrible.
I got nothing. Kathleen McBee.
It's me.
Ron Roberts. As opposed to...
Thought it was Eeyore for a second.
It was Eeyore for a second. It was very good Eeyore.
Very good Eeyore.
Disney will be calling any time, just because copyright infringement. I was saying, not casting. Stop doing Eeyore. Why do we pick on Disney? We all love Disney, actually, in this room.
I was actually thinking Schleprock from the Flintstones.
Oh! Tony Rock.
Wow.
I know. Look at that.
Talk about a deep dive.
That's impressive.
Is that a deep dive? Is that what they call
it? Yeah, that's a deep dive.
Yeah, that was good. Okay. Except I think it's Shemprock.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. I can't remember, but that's...
I think it changed from season to season.
Actually, from the Pebbles and Bam Bam something hour, right?
Variety
Hanna-Barbera?
I think it was when Pebbles and Bam Bam were teenagers.
Oh,
before the
remake. Oh, wrong podcast.
Oops, yep. Come back.
Okay,
come back.
But anyway, that's the trouble, folks. We do so many podcasts. We have our own little network here. But this is the one about theater, and we love theater, and we know you do too. So, hey, just because I've gotten the habit of shouting out for any given theaters, groups, and I don't have anything else really, just kind of start off a conversation, we do have sort of a review later today, so hang in for that. It's kind of a review of the show that we are currently working on right now with Players, but I wanted to talk about it for a bit. I want to give a shout out to the Bay City Players. We just recently celebrated, of course, our 75th anniversary. And so I thought it might be appropriate for us to shout out to what we do know is one of the older theater groups in the state and actually the oldest continuous operating community theater in Michigan.
Wow.
I think they're closing in 100 years, if not there already. They're certainly in the high 90s. So shout out to our friends in Bay City. We should have looked up your schedule, but I just sprung this on the groupies.
And I love their song.
Bay City Rollers.
Yeah.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Yes,
hey.
That is them.
Yes. Okay.
But no, the Bay City. They have a great theater, great facility. I've toured it. It was, I say, recently remodeled, but now the thing about it's probably 30 years ago. used to be an old movie house, and they actually ended up essentially buying a good quarter, half the block. They owned a couple houses. They tore down the original building, rebuilt a new theater. It's pretty impressive.
So do we want to know what their
I'm guessing is? 96.
Oh.
No, we're talking about their...
I was going to talk about their season.
Oh, about the actual season.
It says season 105.
Oh, I missed their 100th already. Oh, my God. I should have been up there to say congratulations. Hmm. I used to know people in Bay City. Everybody who's anybody does.
Oh, okay.
Give me a second.
They're pretty big in the community theater world here in Michigan.
What's going on?
Bay City was also the name of a fictional city in another world, a soap opera on NBC from 1960. Yeah,
but it's a real city.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So, actually, this coming up weekend, November 10th through the 12th, they are doing Love, Loss, and What I Wore. Let's see, December 10th and 15th through the 17th, a good old-fashioned big family Christmas.
That was one we were looking at, wasn't it?
I think so.
January 7th, the 12th, and the 14th of 2024, they are doing The Revolutionists.
I don't know that one.
That is a surreal comedy set in 1793 Paris during the Reign of Terror.
Oh, this sounds like a real laugh riot there.
It's about violence, legacy, art, and activism. Look at this. February 23rd through the 25th and March 1st and 3rd, The Odd Couple.
Which version? Classic or female?
Looks like it's the classic.
Classic.
Mm. April 26th through the 28th and May 3rd through the 5th, Into the Woods.
Into the Woods. Into the Woods.
There you go. Let's see.
That question about The Odd Couple.
What's the question about The Odd Couple, Bob?
What if we did a mixture of men and women?
I don't think that would work personally, but interesting concept.
No.
Just because, I think it's really kind of written as a boys thing or girls thing, so to speak. But I don't know. For the 21st century, maybe that makes sense. Neil Simon's gone, so I guess we can't really talk about that. Oh, Steel Magnolias or
no,
what? No.
That has to be One Slight Hitch.
Oh, yes, because she's dressed in the wedding. Yes, it's. I'm sorry. Apparently did One Slight Hitch not too long ago, mm-hmm. Which is a show Kathleen and I were both in, so written by Lewis Black. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so sounds like Bay City has quite a good season coming up, and we wish them well. But they're it's interesting because Croswell, our neighbors here, they advertise themselves as Michigan's oldest theater, mm-hmm. but that's really referring to the theater building and the operation of that. Bay City is the oldest continuously operating community theater.
They have been operating for 102 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where's season 105 come from?
They call it 105.
I'm not sure how they, but 102 years is how long they've been around.
Okay, excellent. But yeah, so they've been around longer than we have, and I suspect there's other groups that have been as well, but this is one I know certainly has been. So community theater, like we were just saying last episode, it's been around a long time. So today's topic is one that should be near and dear to all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's one that comes up quite a bit and I've titled this episode, so Brian will have to remember this since he actually does the titles. Sing Out Louise.
Sing Out Louise.
Projection to the Back of the House. Have Microphones Made Us Soft?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go on a limb, just take a room around here. Don't do that. Again, you can't see that, and that's probably for the best.
It's Flipper on a bad day.
but I'm going to take a quick poll. Microphones, Kathleen, yay or nay?
I say yay.
Yay?
I say yay. Yeah.
Yay?
I'm for microphones.
Ron?
Leva.
Bob?
Not unless everybody is mic'd.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Nope.
Okay, there you have it, our opinions on microphones. Thank you for joining
us.
It's been another great episode.
We had this podcast.
One of the things that occurred to me in the show that I'll be honest, is shows I've been directing for the past few years, is that I do see actors now who don't know how to project. And what's worse, as a director, I don't know how to help them, mm-hmm. because I apparently am just naturally loud. But, you know, we give all the usual about use your diaphragm. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what's a diaphragm? Where is that? And how do you push it? Do you play a musical instrument? It's the same breath. It's the same muscle you use playing the guitar. Yeah, no, let's move on. but it's the same kind of thing. Yeah. It's you know, I think there used to be whole coaching classes on how to project your voice, not throw your voice. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get into ventriloquism, you can do that. But projecting, and it's something that's a talent that, frankly, or a talent, it's a skill. That actors used to always have. It's a skill that public speakers used to always have. It's a skill that pastors have had, reverends, you know, anyone who had to get in front of a large crowd. And I think because of microphones, we have lost that talent. And I think we as community theaters may be suffering because of it.
Mm-hmm.
We, I think, are in a unique space as well. Space, literally, because of the space that we're in.
Right. We're in a...
People assume, since it's small, that they can just have conversation voice.
Right.
And that everybody can hear that. And if I'm yelling or if I'm projecting, it sounds like I'm yelling at people, whereas the people that are in the back of the house, that's not yelling.
And frankly, it's one of the issues with us taking over an old retail space.
Mm-hmm.
When you're into theater design, that was not designed for sound to travel. You go into an auditorium, there are some hidden things in the design of that auditorium to allow the voice to be amplified as it moves out. Different surfaces, different curves, and things like that. And I think that's something for any group that's looking to maybe move into a non-traditional theater space to consider, is how does this affect the acoustics in your space, in your shows.
And I have been to several community theater groups that do use mics, mm-hmm. and that... they end up not being, I can't even understand them with the mics. It ends up being, and it's like, what are they saying? They're mic'd, but you still can't understand what they're saying.
Right. You need to have a good sound person.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And so my vote is mics. You know, I'm for mics, but you have to use them well. You have to know what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, and the actor needs to know how to use a mic. I mean, I never used a mic until I was at DAG in Wyandotte. And I thought that was such a small space. And I was like, ugh, you know, this is so small. Why do I have to use a mic in this space? But, you know, I for the enjoyment of everybody in the audience, I think they have a great sound system. I didn't hear anybody complaining about the sound. And if you can't hear the show, if you can't make out the words, then they're missing. Yeah. You're missing your audience.
Well, and the other thing with mics that also allow you is hearing assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have people in your audience who, frankly, need hearing aids, mm-hmm. don't have them, or something, and a microphone will allow you to provide that aid to them.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some of the folks who need hearing aids won't acknowledge that they need hearing aids.
What?
You know who they are when you walk into their house because the TV's up several volumes too loud. Which is not to be derogatory, but it's like we all have to admit sometimes that maybe something is not working. Yeah, except you, Brian. Okay. But
what?
Yeah, when the neighbors are shouting at you, turn it down. It's my time to turn it down.
Yeah. My daughter walked in after rehearsal for this show she's in with you. And as soon as she walked in, she went, oh, my God, I could hear that TV outside. And you've got all the windows shut. And I'm like, I still can't hear it. Up, more, yeah, yeah, up.
Yeah. The walls are vibrating. But again, the microphones do allow for that, even if it's just for that boost. But, you know, the microphones are only as good as the sound system it's coming out of, to your point, and as good as the person who's running the sound system, because they've got to be listening probably through the headphones to get it properly.
And your actors still need to be articulating. You know, they can't get lazy just because there's a mic.
I'm sure.
It's not a television program.
And then I would be paranoid, and this is just me, but, you know, if you don't have a sound person that is absolutely consistently on the mark, you've got two actors that finish their scene, go around back and go, my God, that's the worst audience we've had forever. And suddenly they don't turn those mics off quick enough.
It's happened.
Going to the bathroom and the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you believe that she did that? I told her. And I'm like, you're on the air. Shut up.
I've been to a show or two where that's happened, and I think we have done a show or two where we've heard what's going on backstage.
Yeah.
And it does detract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was a high Twitter.
So just like.
Joke.
So there's an art to it, you know, and you need to be. It's not as easy. Oh, just plug everybody in and away we go. No,
it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think to that earlier point that, and some of it is too, is just make the actors understand. Hey, just because you're in a small space, doesn't mean that you can be heard. Now, what of course I've been teasing my actors with in this current production is like, oddly enough, even though I don't hear you on stage, I hear every word backstage. Yeah. So I know you can project.
Who's your stage manager?
I agree with you. And you know, the fact that theater survived for many centuries.
That's true.
Without a sound, a sound system. I'm pretty sure Billy wasn't looking around going, "Could somebody mic Juliet, please? Because I can't hear her." So, you know.
She's just having a drink.
But isn't it one of those things that, I mean, now that you've got a cell phone, can you go back to not having a cell phone? I mean, isn't that one of those things that now we've had mics in the theater, it's hard to go back and not have them? You know? And just throwing it out there. Discuss among yourselves.
Well, and not and for again, me. I think
because I just wouldn't use them.
The other point is, it also depends on your space. I don't know about the Globe Theater, but I do know, for example, the amphitheaters that the Greeks use. There's a reason it was built into the hill the way it was. It could help project those voices.
Oh, sure. I was at the Globe, actually. Mm-hmm. But I never went inside.
I would say, could you hear a pin drop? I don't know.
Yeah,
I've seen the recreation of the Globe in San Diego. I didn't go inside there either.
So. I think I was in
the Rose in San Diego.
They have one in Stratford, Ontario, too, I believe. Sure.
Yeah.
I think I may have been in that one, but it was so long ago, I don't remember. Mm. I don't know. I just...
Well, and
one of the things that actors... And it should be a skill set, whether it be community or equity, is learn how to pronounce and learn how to project, because those are two major things that every actor should know how to do. Not to say everybody can do it as well, some as well as others, and I give you that, but I don't know.
Well, and like I say, my frustration as a director is more about, I don't know how to teach projection.
Yeah.
It's something I've become aware of. And because there's more to it than just saying, you got to be louder. Mm-hmm. You got to be louder.
Sure.
I still can't hear you louder. It's like, obviously they aren't getting louder because they don't know how to be louder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, what constructive criticism can I give them?
Use a dad voice. Or a mom voice.
Moms just have looks, though. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, mine had a voice.
My mom had a voice.
Mine did, too.
And I think it's hard when you're putting on a production to take time out of your actual rehearsal schedule to work on training. The one podcast we had about training your actors, I think it's hard to be having to train your actors during a production. We've got a short lead time. We're focusing on lines and so many other things. So how do you get that training or get them where they need to be in the short amount of time you have, and maybe the limited people you have to choose from for a show.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. And is that something, though, does that mean we're losing good actors because during the rehearsal process it's like, well, that person's too soft, I'll never hear them on stage, so you just don't consider them anymore?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sure that's got to be part of it, especially for the shows. You know, if you're a group that gets hundreds of people trying out every time, why would you spend that time? Mm-hmm. When you can just cast someone who does have the bigger voice?
Now this just popped into my head, but maybe one of the things to make the cast understand is to bring the cast, parts of the cast that aren't on stage, and
I was stifling it.
He gave you me and a everybody, look and it's like, you and everybody else listening to me right now. Yeah. Bring the cast out. Have them sit towards the back while they're watching others, and then say, "You see, this is." I mean, maybe they have to hear it or not hear it themselves to understand what you're trying to get out of them. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. That just popped into my head.
Well, again, but if that again is just pointing out the problem. It's not offering the solution.
Yeah. But what else, I mean, what else can you do other than say you've got to talk louder? And I know Lisa said it a lot for this last show that we did, you know, God of Carnage.
Time stands still.
God.
Time stands
still. They're all blending.
By Don Margolis, right? Yes.
Yes.
Margolis? I can't remember.
But I knew it, and I'm when there are moments when I'm up there in a show that I'll deliver a line and I'll think to myself, "Ooh, that was way too soft," and I realize it after I say it. But it's just something, I guess. You just gotta beat into them.
Well, it's like you said.
I don't know.
Just pointing it out doesn't.
Do not try out for a show that Brian's directing.
Just pointing it out doesn't fix it. I mean, we all know
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The problem is.
And for you gentlemen that have these booming voices I mean, for me, when I try and project more sometimes, I tend to go high. And when my voice gets high and I don't like that, and I'm always trying to keep it down and project and not sound like, you know, Ethel Merman or something. But it's tricky. I've not had the theater experience that you guys have had.
Well, so. and there is a sweet spot of tone.
Mm-hmm.
You can get too high and not be understood, but you can also, you know, there's some men who just, they speak in a baritone and that, it's too low.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it out.
Agreed. The tricky part is when you need a low voice and still be able to project.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to sound monotone through the whole show. You're going to have times when you're more excited or more conversational, but
works for Matthew Broderick.
And he gets paid up front.
That's true too.
Back in the day, there was a system called vocalization.
Oh. Sorry, my back is giving out.
No, you're fine.
Back in the day, there was a system called vocalizing. It was a 6-CD course which dealt exclusively with projection. And what they actually did was start with it as music, singing songs, and building up your volume through the song rather than a spoken line.
Mm. Oh.
I found that very helpful.
Mm. Oh.
It's called Vocalize. I'm not crazy, I'm vocalizing. And it's on Amazon for about $20.
Oh. Good. There's your answer, Dave.
Yep. I need it by Friday.
Well, I
might be able to do that.
Another thing, Dave, that maybe might be helpful is doing some voice exercises at the beginning of the rehearsal.
Well, and you know, I'm probably even when you're doing a so-called straight show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do that a lot with the musicals, of course. You always take your cast through the warm-up and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's like maybe you need to do that for your regular shows, too, so that people just practice through that and practice that projection.
The one show that we did together, One Slight Hitch, so they had a wonderful warm-up that they always did. And it was the first time I'd ever experienced that warm-up. And then the last time, I've never seen another straight show do some kind of warm-up like that. But we were in a group, and we were throwing out each other's lines, and it was just a great way to get your head into the game. As a stage manager a lot, I'm constantly trying to keep the people in the back engaged with what's going on in front, because it's a pet peeve, here it comes. I hate it when people walk off that stage, and they're immediately out of character, and they're off somewhere else, and then I'm trying to get them back into the right frame of mind.
As well you should.
No.
Yeah. No. So it makes you a good stage manager. No, but that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to get, like you say, people think they can turn characters on and off. I don't know.
Most of us can't do that well.
Yeah, and I hear just from listening to other various podcasts, yes, there are other podcasts out there.
What?
To various celebrities as they're talking about their acting experiences. And one of the things that the ones that seem to at least get paid the most money or get you see in the most things they talk about is, you know, they're in character pretty much the whole run of their rehearsal period and their filming and stuff. They don't get out of character until the day is over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that for about quite a few of them. You know, nobody just, some, I imagine there's got to be some though that just walk off the set and it's like, okay, I'm not Batman anymore. I'm
Christian Bale.
Yeah, whatever. Christian Bale, I think, has a reputation for taking it to an extreme.
Mm, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's a little prima donna.
You can. I mean, because we've all talked, when we're in a production, you kind of live, breathe, and sleep it until it's over. So it's entwined in your life throughout the the whole run. But yeah, keeping that frame of mind, everybody and people that have smaller parts don't seem to have that commitment as your main actor sometimes do.
Yeah. That Brian is now giving a look, so I'm narrating because, you know, people can't actually see our faces.
Because it's what not looked radio. Like,
oh, I was looking for, because of something my husband said had nothing to do with.
Speaking of not being in the moment.
That's a fine example, Brian.
But I'm playing Brian very well. I
might Nobody could do it better.
Nobody wants to.
No one
to.
Try to duplicate that.
But I know the Dearborn Actors Guild. I've seen many, many things there. They never use mics. It's there. And they did A Gentleman's Guide to
Murder.
Is it Love and Murder?
Yeah.
That's a good musical.
It was. I swore I was seeing something. I'm not a person that's never been to Broadway, but it was of the caliber of the Croswell. I mean, the singing, and I could hear everything. I could make out everything.
And they were not mic'd.
And they were not mic'd.
In a musical.
In a musical.
That is amazing.
Hands down, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, because that's also been one of the issues, that, you know, on a tangent, so to speak. Oh, gosh darn it. I just realized I didn't get my Daddy Warbucks joke in last episode.
Aww.
Oh, my streak is broken. But
I want credit for the cat.
you did get the cat in. But that's the one thing, because, you know, people are always saying, well, the music was too loud. And so the question is always, is the music too loud or are the mics too soft? But you're saying that Dearborn has proven you can have the music be the right size, sound, and the voices can be the same way.
Yeah.
And I've seen their theater. I think it's a converted facility, is it not?
It's not a small theater. I think it is converted.
Yeah, but I don't think it was originally a theater. I think it was a church or something else. I can't remember what it was.
I think you're right. I think it might have been.
I could be wrong.
I know the Repertoire in Toledo used to be a church.
Yeah, I know that for sure.
But yeah.
But I think Dearborn was something else before they took it over. They have modified it over the years, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Dearborn Theater Guild. I always mark down our shout outs. So. Well, that's worthwhile airtime right there.
Yeah, that will be edited, folks.
Yeah. now they won't know what you edited unless
I know.
Yeah.
Just leave it there.
Let me tell you, folks, yeah, didn't miss much.
So
let me show you what you missed. There you go.
So you think, as we're looking at sound for our theater space, do you think we're going to look at mics?
I don't know.
Do we have a vote for hanging mics or miking?
I don't know. I can't speak, obviously, for the board.
I don't think we have enough money for everything we should be doing, and I don't think a sound. Well, now we're talking our own little thing here, but I don't. There's too much more that should be done before a soundboard, in my opinion.
Mm. Well, and again, soundboards are only part of your solution. Mm-hmm. You need the mics, you need the speakers.
And the speakers are not cheap.
Likewise with lighting, you know, light board is just part of the solution. You need the lights to hook it up.
Sure. And you're better off going LED and doing, you know, getting the best.
That's probably a topic for another podcast or another episode.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Another day. Another day.
Another day.
I didn't get a nap today, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just really. It's obvious. I know.
Do you have rehearsal tonight, too?
Yeah, that director.
Yeah, we all have rehearsals.
Yeah.
Again, as we were just talking in the last episode, it's like, you know, it's an obsession. You got to.
And Ron's still
name
here,
a time
by the way,
that
folks.
A couple of us don't have a rehearsal is probably more obvious, more unusual.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I thought you had a comment.
No. I'm looking at what's it?
He's checking the sports scores.
I'm looking up the Dearborn
Dearborn.
Okay. Dearborn.
Yeah, I'm looking up Dearborn. No, I don't have anything to say.
The Dearborn Actors Guild.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you weren't looking at your bets or something.
Here we are.
They're making me sound like a degenerate, folks, and that's not true.
Not true.
Not right now.
Not at this moment.
Well, it took 62 episodes, but we are totally off the rails.
And I'm right with you. 62
episodes.
Sorry.
This is 62.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
But I'm just saying we've gone off the rails long before 62. Yeah,
I think it was episode 14.
Mm. Yeah, I'll then. But that's good.
And we just never got back on.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, when I played Danny Warbucks, we did not use mics, but we should have. Yeah. I'm kidding. We used mics. I just personally said, I'm not doing this. I took it off.
But that was at the RRCA space?
Yeah. No. Yeah. And we have used mics. We mean Monero community players. We have used mics for musicals for a long time, to the point where we had bought our own mics and everything. But the problem then too is somebody's got to keep track of these devices. Somebody's, especially in a group like ours that frankly has moved a fair amount over the past 20-30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need people to respect
them. The equipment breaks easily.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And people just, I've seen them do this on television all the time. There's a reason they do it on television. It's not real.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and it's not real. And frankly, television has a different budget than we do.
That's right.
I don't think there's any groups that we're talking to today that can afford to just take a couple $100 piece of equipment and toss it aside.
No.
If it's on the lower end of the microphone spectrum, I think, too. Because I'm sure some of those headsets can go for a pretty penny.
Well, now when we've really talked about our perspective about using mics, it'd be interesting if we got some of audience perspective on mics. You know, do they like them? Do they not like them?
Yeah. And that could be, that's our question, I think, is what do you guys think about mics as well?
Mics are fine. I like Mickey's better. Peter's are my favorite.
Just keep away from the Ikes, folks.
Just keep away from the Ikes. Mike and Ike.
Mike and Ikes.
There you go.
There we go. Hey, so.
Well, that.
Remember when we were in our prime with this show?
Wait a second.
Again, we're still in our prime.
Oh, hey.
My gosh.
Do you know how many different versions of Captain Crunch there are?
Just wondering.
Let us count the ways.
All right, I'm pulling it out.
Okay.
Zombie. Oh,
that's Bob's.
I know, but he wasn't using it, so I thought I'd just borrow it.
But you can just take it over.
I'm just borrowing.
I am crippled.
Borrowing.
Bed.
Now listen from way back. Zombie!
Oh.
That's projection, people.
Oh. That is projection.
Yeah, that was good.
And on that note, I think we're going to move on to our review.
Thank you for that.
Ooh, we have a review.
Well, it's not a true review, but as all of you know right now, we're deep into the rehearsal process for a show called The Anti-Heroes. Mm-hmm. It is a premiere, which we have done a couple of in the recent months. Some people think it's kind of risky to do something new by a new playwright, but I have pointed out myself that's like, is it? Because in terms of attracting an audience, if they've never heard of the show, it doesn't matter if it's the first time it's been done or the 100th time. The audience hasn't heard of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You still have to do the same promotion, whether it's a new show versus a older show. Mm-hmm. If your group wants to just do the old tried and trues, Neil Simons and Rodgers and Hammersteins and things that frankly have made the popular culture, well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we in community theater probably have a mission to do something a little different, to present new ideas and new things. And we should take a chance on that. And I think on this show, which is called The Anti-Heroes. It's by Sally Safaro, based on a novel by her late son, Abe Safaro, of the same name. You can buy the book, by the way, still on Amazon if you want. If you come to our show, which unfortunately you won't know about because this episode is going to air afterwards, we have some books that we would sell you, and the proceeds go directly to Monroe Community Players.
We might have some copies still.
We might have a few copies. But the reality is, this is a story that I don't think is going to be told anywhere else except in theater. You know, and I can't say that, you know, maybe she gets a movie made or something down the road. Who knows what the future has? But the reality is, we're presenting something that our audience never would have seen otherwise. They've seen The Odd Couple. They've seen Oklahoma. I would dare say they've seen most any show you can name that's been out out there for 10, 20 years. They may not have seen the latest thing off of Broadway, like Six, which is coming to the Stranahan in a few weeks. But, you know, that's made the rounds, and once it's made the rounds, everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about Hamilton. They may not have seen it, but they know about it. This is something that they don't know about, and it's something brand new. And like I say, it is a story about a culture and a time that they are not familiar with. So I think it's important to do these new stories. What I wanted to talk a little about was, frankly, you know, so this is something any community theater can do. What's different is, because we are working with a playwright on this, and similar to when we did Always with Doug Sparer, we're helping the playwright make and polish this show so they can understand better what their show needs to do when it's presented on stage. Because, you know, maybe the scene changes aren't as effective. Maybe this one thing that they have envisioned can't be pulled off on every stage. And that's something that I think is also invaluable for a training ground. You don't know, the next Neil Simon may be in your theater group right now. But unless he or she gets a chance to present on occasion, you won't know that, because they also have to hone their craft. Should community theaters be a training ground for playwrights? I'm kind of thinking we have a role there. Because the reality is, and as we've discussed before, there are thousands of playwrights out there. There are hundreds of theaters. There are only a very few that are going to pay them for their work. You know, it's as much luck as it is skill, I think, to get your work out there on any major scale. So I just think that what's been rewarding about this experience with Anti-Heroes isn't one just working with a show as we all know and love, but it's drawn in not only a different audience for us, or it appears to be, it's drew in a different cast. You know, this was a show very much appealing to young people.
Absolutely.
Which, again, you know, they don't know Odd Couple. And if they do know Odd Couple, it was a mediocre television show with Matthew Perry, God rest his soul. You know, it just was, you know, it wasn't what we remember from, unless they're a classic film buff. Or television buff. It's just something to think about. So what I enjoyed is working with Sally in particular, because she has dived in wholeheartedly to this. I've listed her as our producer because she found us costumes. She's rented some equipment for us. She's done a lot to make this show happen. It's a passion. Unlike the passions that we have for the theater as well. And I think that you'll find that with a lot of playwrights, it's their passion to see their work done. Not everyone's me. It's like, okay, we need a new Christmas carol. Let me just whip one up and see what we can do this week, which is what I'll be doing next week after the show closes.
Just one word. Roller derby.
That's two words, Bob.
No. It's got the little...
Roller derby.
You didn't say it right.
Sport.
Roller derby.
You're saying it's hyphenated.
Hyphenated, yes. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, okay.
Roller derby.
I don't think it is.
It's Spider-Man.
You got to say it fast.
No, it's Spider-Man. Man. It's... out of time, out of space.
And there's Bob's opinion. This has been Bob's rant.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because
we need to bring back Ron's rants.
Happened to Ron?
I'm sorry, I'm too busy betting on Chinese basketball over here. I can't.
Whatever never happened to Ron's Ranch.
I'm Jiang Peng to cover in 4.5, so ouch. I'll be back.
So that wasn't a true review, but it was just something, just food for thought.
It's interesting that you brought this up because
diatribe.
Earlier today, you guys know I work for our local library system, and I'm in the middle of recording something for them for Christmas. And one of the ladies that I recorded today, when we got done, she said, "Hey, I saw the article on the front of the newspaper for Anti-Heroes." And I said, "Yeah," I said, and she said, "Nice article." And I said, "Thank you." And she goes, "I had never heard of the show." And then I saw that it was brand new and blah, blah, blah. And she said, and I thought this was really interesting. She said, "It's not a show that interests me, I don't think." She goes, "But I'll tell you what," she goes, "I absolutely love," and this was honest to God, what she said, no prompting. This is just this woman, 30 years in the library, you know, whatever. She said, "I love the fact that you guys are doing something so different, so unique, something that's not been seen before." She goes, "In many ways," and this was just her opinions, "in many ways, theater is a lot like a library. It should be a little bit of something for everybody, and you should never be afraid of putting something new out there because you never know who's going to fall in love with that." She goes, and it's true. There are people that sit there and yell at the library because they have things in the library that they don't like. So the concept is, if I don't like it, nobody should have it.
The donut.
And we know people that look at theater the same way. It's not what I like, therefore it should never be done.
That's true.
And I thought that was so awesome that she was very honest. It's not something that I would be interested in, but she was so tickled to see that we are doing something so avant-garde, so different. And she said, "That's really, theater is a lot like library, and it should be giving something for everyone out there."
Good. Well, my one point.
I like that.
I agree with Brian there, but when our special gift that we have with the show is we're getting insight into a totally different culture world that we don't have any experience with. And having the playwright and her vision and her expertise versus you just get their play and you try and interpret what they're trying to get across. But we have that wonderful gift of her right with us to ask a question to. Would this make sense? Would this be right? Are we telling your story right? Are we getting it right?
Yeah.
That has just been so fulfilling and eye-opening that you don't always get.
Yeah, and even just doing this, like I say, we've learned so much about what she's trying to do with the story and the culture she's trying to portray. Just through this and other people, if the show goes on and be done by other groups, they aren't necessarily going to have that.
No, and it's so much more multifaceted than I ever realized. I mean, the difference between goth and gothic and how goth over the years from, you think it's all this, but no, it was really this at this time. It's been so educational. And I like sometimes when you come out of a show and you've learned, you've changed, you've grown. This experience is, I know I'm only stage managing, but I know I've experienced that through the show.
Nobody only stage manages.
Darn right there. Yeah.
That's right. So good. Thank you. So I'm just, part of my speech or whatever is just don't be afraid to work with a new playwright or a new playwright's work. I think we just heard some very good arguments why you might want to try it and why you want to do that.
Absolutely.
Likewise, I'm not saying that the classics don't have a space, but
It should be a little bit of something for everybody.
Well, and the reality is there's some name shows that are always going to draw, we're doing Best Christmas Pageant Ever again, for example. Mm-hmm. We're doing A Christmas Carol again. Mm-hmm. We know we will sell tickets. Mm-hmm. And that should let us do the next new thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Hollywood. They can't, they got to make sure that the next thing is always on the horizon because if something flops,
just look at all the remakes in Hollywood.
No new ideas.
Disappears as soon as its premiere date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially all the Disney stuff, the Marvels. It's like, it's the greatest thing. It's kind of, here's opening day. Goodbye.
Mm. Well, yeah, that is the one unique thing, is because they only have a short amount of time to come see it. Seeing something live or seeing it at the movie theater time seems so short. And then you're down to DVD and TV. You know, I mean, you've got a small window to see it in theater. You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm applauding our audience that makes that commitment to come out and support.
Yeah. You got one weekend, maybe two, mm-hmm. three.
If you're lucky.
Some groups can do more, but because frankly, we also burn out a cast.
Yeah.
As you all know, by the time the fourth weekend rolls around, I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for the show to be over.
I've never done four.
I think three is the most I've ever done. So I shouldn't. So I'm lying. I don't know, because I've never made it to four.
Well, can you imagine those people on Broadway that do this for a job? I mean,
I would love it.
Yeah.
Well, honest to God, if it was a role that I really loved and I was getting paid to live in New York to do a show, I don't care what it would be, and I'd be like all over that.
And that may be a topic for another episode as well. I was talking to a professional actor. She's in Chicago. And she said, I don't understand how you can just do a couple weekends and you're done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She feels you don't get into the character until 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And she, to her, you really don't get into the character until you've lived with that character for a long time. And to me, it's like, I'm saying, I don't know, after, you know, especially if your show's picked up and it goes on for years, you know, how long can you really do the same character over and over and over? Yeah.
Ask Kelsey Grammer in the 5 years.
See, but he does a different play in a sense, though. He's doing the same character, but it's a different
script
every time.
Yeah,
it's a different story every time.
You're talking about.
He's not coming out and doing the same episode of Frasier over and over and over and over.
Well, what I've seen so far, he kind of is.
There's a formula.
Well, everything.
I mean, don't knock it. It works, and it makes money. And you know the cardinal rule of all theater, once you have their money, you never give it back.
But also, money is not the only indicator of a successful show.
That's right.
So
right there.
You know, it helps.
But I know
the theater.
boy, it sure does. Even Time Stands Still, and I go back to Bench in the Sun. They were on those last shows, the Sunday shows, especially with Time Stand Still. I know there was a moment, and I can't remember what it is now, where I said a line that I had said over and over and over, and it hit me. Oh, maybe my character means it this way. Maybe I should have done this, which I think lends to you still, you have more time to learn, mm-hmm. and you can keep growing with that character if you are doing it, mm-hmm. you know, night after night and show after show. But, you know, at the same time, I'm sure there are probably some where it's like, oh my God, I just want this over with.
Well, and we've taken a show to ACFest and gotten feedback from the adjudicators, but, and then put it on for our own audience. I think we think of it the flip side. Let's do it for our own audience first and then take it to competition. I could see pros and cons doing it both ways.
Do it the other way, and that way you're giving the advice of the adjudicators, mm-hmm. which is impartial,
mm-hmm. and then taking that back to utilize for the audience. Mm-hmm.
Or if you listen to last episode, even when you're told by family and friends what they think of the show, then it's like, no, shut up.
We can't just leave you here.
Okay, well, it looks like it's a little short today, but I think we've gotten what we want to say in this episode out. So, and frankly, most of us have rehearsal to get to. So it looks like we're out of time for this episode. I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. We appreciate the support that you not only give us, but that you give to keeping theater alive in your communities. You'd think I'd have this memorized by now. We also appreciate the feedback and conversation. So you can be sure to visit our Facebook page for more fun. Look for Monroe Community Players Podcast. Emails may, or the Art and Business Community Theater. You should be able to find us that way as well. Emails may be sent to mcppodcast, all one word, at monroecommunityplayers.org. And to keep up with the latest shows and activities of MCP, go to monroecommunityplayers.org. We generally release 2 episodes a month, so please take a moment to subscribe, like, and otherwise rate us. Help spread the word that we are here. And frankly, tell your friends. You know, I know you all got other people who are out there involved with community theater because, you know, what other friends do you have? Because we spend so much time with each other in the theater, yeah. Right? Yeah. But let them know that we're here, too.
It's a slam.
The Art and Business Community Theater is presented by Monroe Community Players, recorded at the Monroe Public Access Podcast Studio high atop the Benish Building in historic Monroe, Michigan. Remember, the question is, what do you think of microphones? And for the love of theater, go out there and get a good show. Or give a good show. We are the groupies. We'll see you in the green room. That didn't work well.
We're out.
I'm done. I'm really done now.
No, we're not. I haven't pressed the button yet.
Yeah.
We're not done.
Button.
Keep going,
press
Dave. Keep going.
Press the button.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven, because it hasn't.